Hi Delano, this is the first of many taped messages from your sometime host, Bathrob Spear Robert Norris. And of course you're listening to Bathrob Spear's Broadsides on 96.3 FM with a guest host, possibly, pester me not, Pat Ring, the only person who has yet been actually arrested and cited under the Rotkin injunction, which is now leveled over City Hall like some dark storm cloud or thick swamp or evil black spell. The injunction, you may remember, was passed by Judge Samuel Stevens on May 31st, and it makes one act of sleeping, one act of cooking, preparing, or storing food, one act of having an illegal sign of any sort punishable by up to 6 months in jail, that is to say, by a contempt of court charge. And Pat has exactly one of those. Now, I know about contempt of court charges because for the next 2 months you won't be hearing me on this station for the simple reason that I will be in jail up in San Francisco for violating that law, contempt of court. My crime was serving food to the homeless in San Francisco in October of 1993 with Food Not Bombs. Sounds silly? Yeah, particularly when you realize they spent over $100,000 so far doing what they're doing to me, which is essentially putting me in jail for 2 months to spend another, I don't know what, $5,000 or $6,000 to make a point. And the point, of course, being that you don't fuck around with authority. And that's a point that they're trying to intimidate people with up in San Francisco, and they're trying to intimidate people with down here in Santa Cruz. Luckily, some people refuse to be intimidated, and Patrick Ring is one of them. I'm proud to have him as a guest host today. That's June 10th, I guess, on our show. While I'm in jail, which should be going for the next month and a half to 2 months, or perhaps less, depending on how the weather blows, sometimes they kick people out of jail because there's no room. While I'm in jail, beggar-backer Becky Johnson will be kind of co-hosting with Pester Me Not Pat. Hopefully both of them will be out of jail during this time. If not, then somebody else is going to have to report the news and press on with the interviews and keep people updated on what's happening around civil rights for the poor. And there is a lot happening. Today, Monday, the reason I'm not at this show, even though I'm still in town, is that I'm at a city council get-together with the protesters. That's Celia Scott and Catherine Byers, who meet every so often, unfortunately usually at Monday during the middle of my show, at the city manager's conference room. In fact, if it's before 10:30, you can hustle down there if you want to be a part of the, quote, dialogue going on. I'm a little cynical about it, but on the other hand, I continue to go to it, unlike Pester Me Not Pat, who has completely abandoned it and thinks it's a complete waste of time, and he'll probably talk about that later in the hour as to why he feels that way. You know, it's probably true that if the city council members have anything really to discuss with you, they will come to you. And one of the main problems of the protest that I've observed so far is that while we have some dedicated people, we don't have the numbers and breadth in the community to really make the kind of strong and persistent impact that I would like to see us make. And we do what we can, and I my hat's off to Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins and to Gideon, to Anthony, to Devin, to all the folks who've done really an incredible job of maintaining the City Hall Sleepout, which today is in its 102nd day. Amazing number of days at City Hall. Of course, as I've said before, the Guinness Book of World Records at City Hall isn't so much the point as in getting the message out to people and mobilizing new people around the issue. And I've always thought the best way to do that is to do it in a more public place, because while City Hall is sort of public, not too many people or not too many new people go there. I guess the Civic Auditorium is a little more public. In fact, it might be more pertinent to have the vigil there. And in fact, the vigil may have to move, at least at night, once Mayor Rotkin puts through his new pooch, or edict, or decree, or fiat, or emergency. The regulation is going to be coming up at the 3:30 City Council session on Tuesday, tomorrow, June 11th. And indeed, on Tuesday, the demonstrators are planning a counter-move. I'm calling it a bye-bye to Bathrob Spear brouhaha, because They'll be serving two meals, and I'll be serving food with them at 3 o'clock and at 6:30 on the City Hall property, which shouldn't be illegal. It's not barred by the injunction, but the injunction does bar cooking, preparing, and storing food, and so who knows what the police will say when we show up with some nice hot soup to serve folks. Be on hand for that. That's going to happen tomorrow, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6:30 at night, assuming that we have some ladles that aren't in the lockup and some soup servers who aren't in stir in the local jail. And we hope that that won't be the case, because after all, they haven't arrested soup servers, well, since 1989, when two people here served time in jail after being convicted for serving soup in violation of city council's wishes. And the city council came up with a whole bunch of pretexts concerning so-called health violations in order to rip out an archaic state law about the need for a food facility permit, which is usually something that a commercial restaurant would need to get if it were serving food, not a bunch of people or a charity organization. For instance, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program has never had permits for serving food, health permits. I don't know if St. Francis Soup Kitchen has such a permit. Perhaps it does. It's a permanent food facility, but the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program just does its feeding on a kind of a haphazard basis, though it happens every night. What there is of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, because it's now reduced to what, about 32 people total, something like that, 16 men, 16 women. Folks from the City Hall Sleepout have been trying to get into that program and failing because there's no room. There's no room for any homeless people in Santa Cruz other than just a drop in the bucket, the 500 to 1,500 homeless people that are there. Indeed, that really is the underlying issue, why the folks are at City Hall. I guess some people are there because they have a broader conception that they feel that people should be allowed to camp and sleep outdoors without undue regulation by the city, that it's an attack on a lifestyle and an attack on a natural relation between the human beings and the earth and an attack on an economic class. But others of us, I am among those, feel that the ban against sleeping rather than the ban against camping is my primary target. I don't think human beings should be arrested for falling asleep at night, particularly when there's no legal place for them to sleep. So they're put into a catch-22 situation where they have to sleep, and yet they become criminals if they sleep. And so, in essence, they're victims of a status crime. They're in a category that makes them criminal, namely human beings at night who need sleep and become illegal when they do sleep. And, of course, this affects only poor people. So it has a whole class basis. But if you tell that to Mayor Mike Rotkin, of course, his response is, we provide lots of wonderful services, we're doing what we can. If we did more, people would flock from all over. If we made it okay for people to sleep at night, then we'd get all kinds of sleepers, would rush to sleep on our concrete, wonderful sidewalks and so forth. We don't want people sleeping anywhere and everywhere. We don't want people sleeping in front of businesses. We don't want people sleeping here, there. He's got a lot to say, but it usually doesn't amount to much, because what he's got to say is essentially he won't deal with the issue of the right to sleep at night for homeless people. And that is similar to Willie Brown of San Francisco, who made a promise that homeless people would be allowed to sleep on February 22nd, that the Matrix program, the anti-homeless program initiated by his predecessor, Mayor Jordan, would end. In fact, it has not ended, although there actually have been some positive signs in the last few weeks. However, his district attorney, or I should say the elected district attorney of San Francisco, the same one who supported me up there and testified that I shouldn't be jailed for serving free food, dismissed 38,000 Matrix cases, Matrix warrants, and I'm still waiting for our city attorney to do the same under orders from, or instructions from Mayor Mike Rotkin and the city council, that anyone who has had a warrant for a sleeping ticket, those warrants will all be dismissed. Because there is no legal place for people to sleep, so you can't reasonably jail people for sleeping. Seems pretty simple, but maybe it's to the complex mind of Mike Rotkin, who's perhaps figuring out his re-election chances in November and wants to make a play for the right, perhaps. Maybe it's not so simple. And maybe I'm not being fair to Mike. Maybe he just simply has a principled objection to letting homeless people sleep. Somehow that's just not acceptable, not suitable. Not the right thing to do. I haven't been able to figure it out, and I don't know anybody else who really has either. We debated on this issue a week ago. I had a debate with Rotkin up at UCSC on free radio, not on free radio, actually it was broadcast on free radio, but it was recorded at the chambers of KZSC. And Mike refused to consider any changes in the sleeping ban law, and he is the key swing vote, so his voice is very important here. And he also refused to consider any changes in the misdemeanor provision of the sleeping law, which he voted for in 1979 when he was a fledgling council member on the city council way back then. That provision makes two instances of sleeping in Santa Cruz anywhere outside of a house or hotel or backyard on property you own or have permission to be on or fenced in side yard, any sleeping twice punishable by up to 6 months in jail. Of course, Mike has gone one better now. He's made one instance of sleeping at City Hall, which is clearly a protest area, and you shouldn't be subject to protest at all for sleeping. If you're bold enough to sleep there, even in spite of the police harassment, the seizure of your blankets, the abuse you get in the Sentinel, the crap you have to take from the gardener, and the uncomfortable conditions there. There's no privacy there. There's no restroom facilities. You're constantly in fear of getting a ticket. If you have the courage to be there, it's obviously an act of symbolic speech because it can't be a real encampment or campground. There's just no way people would choose that place to go to sleep if they were looking for a good place to sleep. It's obviously a protest site. And it's obvious that Mayor Rotkin is utterly denying that reality and turning reality on its head with this injunction, which states somehow that the rationale for the injunction, which is a court order, which makes being there very perilous, you have to be very careful. If you step over any kind of line, you're subject up to 6 months in jail, which Pat Ring found out the other day by making a sign that was slightly, it was actually legal in all respects, carefully tailored, 14 inches. It was posted only on a utility light pole. But it turns out they pulled out another section of the law which nobody had read before and which hadn't been mentioned in court, and it wasn't mentioned in the packet or in the injunction in any direct way. You can't have a sign that overreaches the pole on which which the sign is placed. And the City Hall pole, the light pole there, is only 2 inches wide. So almost any sign that could be seen by a human being rather than a mouse or an ant would have to be at least a foot wide. This whole idea of signs can't be more than 14 inches is another gross abuse of the First Amendment by our local judge, Samuel Stevens, or perhaps that wasn't his intention. Perhaps it's simply the city attorney and the police department and Mayor Rotkin who are making all these nasty changes, and we're going to hope that we'll be going back to court to challenge this kind of attempt to snip, clip, and shred the First Amendment and the Constitution. Anyway, I get lost when I go into the arcane details of this. I'll be talking with Celia Scott, Catherine Byers, and I guess Daniel Hopkins now. I'll be there trying to get these micey council people, and I'm afraid that's what they are, much as I'm pleased that Celia Scott does stop to watch, as does Mike Rotkin and Scott Kennedy, I might add, but for different reasons, as police come and tear down the signs that have been up at City Hall telling people what the protest was about. The sheer harassment tactic, sheer attempt to get rid of them. No sense there at all. Anyway, Scott and Byers didn't have the courage just to fill out a declaration that said the City Hall protest is not a mess. They made these statements in other quarters, but they wouldn't make them to the court. And I've never been able to accept that, and I guess I don't want to belabor the point because it's just what it is. But what we needed in court was, at least the attorneys told us, was some kind of respectable testimony to counter the respectable horseshit coming from the mayor, his gardener, his chief of police, and his eager beaver go-get-em Sergeant Clark, who's on the loose again, seizing displays and signs and having a grand old time doing it. Not to mention dragging away people from phone booths and 5150 them. I saw that happen the other night to a friend of Skidmark Bob Duran's. The guy was a little upset, but he was just trying to make a phone call to a friend, and he was surrounded by police, and Clark used this friendly, come on, let me shake your hand, let me help you, let me do this, let me do that. At the time, I found myself thinking, well, this guy on the phone is maybe kind of a lunatic. He was on the payphone at 2 a.m. outside the fire station. And he apparently called suicide prevention, and they called the cops. And he was dumped in a Dominican hospital eventually. Sergeant Clark said, I'm your friend, let's shake hands. And I kept saying, you guys are going to jump me. And I got a lot of this on tape, by the way. Unfortunately, I don't have my Deborah, so I can't really get it to you right now and play it for you. But he kept saying, you're going to jump me. And this is at 2 in the morning. I was standing off to the side recording this and watching this about a block from the City Hall Sleepers Vigil, as I said, at the fire department. And he finally shook Clark's hand again, and then Clark pulled him down, and they did jump him. So the guy knew what he was talking about, and they put him in the car, and they shoved him, and they took him off to Dominican. And I saw him this evening as I went to the vigil. So he'd been released within 2 days, so he had been let go, and it just looked like another example of, I don't know, police terror here in Santa Cruz. I want to say a special word of appreciation for a woman who I've known for almost a decade here in Santa Cruz, a poet, a lesbian, a fighter for human rights for people, particularly those held in psychiatric wards, an articulate critic and supporter of the rights of the poor, a critic of the existing system and a supporter of those who are trying to change it and make it fairer or overturn it or live outside it. And I'm talking about Morgan Firestar. Morgan had a show on this radio. She was in pain a lot. She had a condition, chronic fatigue syndrome or lupus. Not quite sure which. I get them confused. And she had trouble doing the smallest things. They tired her out. And I could never quite understand this. I mean, it's really hard to understand people who are in pain unless you're in pain yourself. And I've been very lucky in that regard. I had some pain as a child when I was subjected to operations, appendicitis and ileitis and other stuff. But I haven't had any kind of grueling, debilitating pain for months and months and years on end, which, I'm not terribly good about my health. I may get into that and begin to suffer that as I grow older, and hopefully I won't. But here's someone in her 30s that was suffering this. I think she was in her 30s, maybe in her early 40s. She was outspoken to the max. She helped build Free Radio Santa Cruz. The original meetings of Free Radio were held in her apartment. The place was packed. The energy was bursting and boiling. And Free Radio is still a vital part of our community here. We are, and it's expanding all over the country, and I might say even all over the world, and she's one of the reasons for it. And she published a newsletter, which I subscribed to, but didn't read as much as I should have. It was about the rights of people oppressed by the psychiatric system. She was one of the people who remembered the original days of NAPA. By NAPA, I don't mean the state hospital or the winery. I mean the Network Against Psychiatric Assault, which was an organization from Berkeley in the mid-70s, early 70s, that took seriously the rights of people labeled mentally ill who wanted to deal with their own problems and not be dragged into psychiatric wards against their will, 5150 as we now call it. And NAPA, the organization, published a newsletter called Madness Network News, and Morgan was a supporter of that, and really kind of the movement had kind of fallen away while she remained true to these principles, and just as John Stewart also remains true to the ideas of the utter abusiveness of the psychiatric system, its unredeemability. A lot of money has been put out to co-opt people into kind of mental health networks and their kind of establishment-licking jobs you can get and be a part of this whole procedure of dealing with people who are designated mentally ill. I don't know how to deal with people who are nutty, as I call it, or act weirdly or violently or strangely. I've had any problems with Crossroads Chris Brazda, who I call Crosswires Chris Brazda recently because of his... I've lost patience with the man. He seems to me a very violent, abusive, bullying guy, and I just have lost patience with him recently, and he was 5150 back on June 1st. He was put on the psych ward. And after a hearing in which Robert Flory attended, he was forced to take psychiatric drugs. He was shot up forcibly with Haldol. You know, and a little vengeful part of me says, good, get that sucker out of here, dump him somewhere else, keep him away from demonstrations that we're holding that he's disrupting and creating problems with. But you know, that that's the short-sighted, knee-jerk, almost establishment part of me speaking. And no one should be pumped up with drugs that they, you know, that, particularly psychiatric drugs. I'm aware of what those drugs do. They're horrible. And the least, we talk about the right of people to sleep at night. Certainly we have that right, and we should have that right anyway. But the right to have your mind clear, regardless of whatever thoughts you're thinking, however weird or unacceptable to other people, you have the right to at least to that space within yourself. Now, Brazda has assaulted me and has assaulted other people. And he has a bullying manner about him, and he demands attention, and he doesn't get it. He gets obnoxious at best, and brutal, and intimidating, and unpleasant, and even violent at worst. That's happened. But he's also a very, I would even say, brilliant critic of existing abuses, particularly around, he's been following the community house scandal, as I call it, or what do you want to call it, the replacement of the only homeless campground in Santa Cruz, which held 150 to 250 people out of Coral Street back in December, with a sort of a cockeyed 20 to 40 person, $1.3 million halfway house type project, which still isn't funded, now is not due to really open until October, November, if then. And can't get its books balanced sufficiently and its fund sources straightened out enough to be able to give a set of figures to the city council so it can get its latest $150,000 bridge loan. I mean, that's... that may sound like a nasty statement or a critical statement, but that's the truth. That's what's going on. And those who are interested, by the way, should check out the Social Services Subcommittee. Social Services Subcommittee is a committee that is meets every 2 weeks or so. Maybe it's less frequently than that, but anyway, it is meeting on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, I believe it is, 8 o'clock or 8:15, at the City Council City Manager's Conference Room, it's called, which is right next to the Mayor's Office. Just go to the Mayor's Office and ask where it is. And you'll be able to sit in and listen to our great defenders of the people's rights, Scott Kennedy, the sign destroyer, the backer of the banner of beggars, the killer of the campground, and the injunction maker, sit with his pal Mike Rotkin about little needs to be said, and Jane Yokoyama, who I call Jane Hokey Mama, who has been voting for all these anti-homeless laws and won't change the sleeping ban and wants to see beggars banned, and voted for the injunction and no doubt will vote for a closing law at City Council, which is going to be coming up, I remind you, at 3:30 on Tuesday. So there are actually two things happening on Tuesday, or actually three things, well, more than that, but let's start with those. At 8:15 in the morning, the Social Services Subcommittee meets and may talk about community house. It probably won't unless CCH, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which runs this community house project, which is right now nothing more than a locked piece of property which people can't use out at Coral Street right next to the Homeless Community Resource Center. So instead they have to run around and get troll busted on the mall, which according to Karen Gillette is happening more frequently, and that's the reports I get as well. Ticketed up in the Poganip, some guy probably came down to the vigil and was threatening me. I wasn't around. He was looking for me but couldn't find me. He wanted to stick me, he said. Nobody told him that the judge had stuck it to me the day before with this 2-month jail sentence that I'm going to be suffering starting Monday, June 17th is when I go into Hall of Justice in San Francisco and begin serving that sentence. 5:30 in the evening. We're going to have a rally at 4, but at 5:30 I get to check out the inside of the downtown jail, and then who knows where I'm going to go after that. I'll try to keep you folks advised. If you want to keep an update of what's happening with my situation, give me a call at 423-HUFF. The phone will still be going, 423-4833. And I'm also hoping to get out reports from jail about what's going on inside, as I think I've mentioned before. Anyway, Tuesday, June 11th, lots of things are going to be happening. That's tomorrow. There's that Social Services Subcommittee meeting, 8:15 in the morning. There's a City Council meeting at 3:30, but come early. Come at 3 and share some food with us. We're going to be serving free food and in an attempt to rally support for the folks who are being declared criminals for having signs and trying to do a protest around the rights of people to sleep, and also they face jail for food, and we'll see if they arrest us for serving free food. I may actually get to go to jail before June 17th. I may go to jail thanks to the Santa Cruz authorities for violating their injunction. I don't think it violates an injunction to serve free food. But the police are saying all kinds of different things. Anyway, on the 3:30 agenda, after your meal with us, and that should be a good meal if you want to join us at City Council, 809 Center Street, right across from the main library, you could come in and discuss three things that are coming up on the agenda. One of them is the farmer's market. Should it stay open? Should it stay downtown? What should happen to it? Second item is change machines. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that mischief-making downtown businesses, bigots for the downtown association, are at it again. They want to put in a change machine across from Woolworths and a change machine in front of the subway. What difference does that make, you might add? Well, change machines are useful for purposes other than making change. And one of those purposes is to remove homeless people, deadheads, young people, counterculture people from the area, because thanks to Mike Rotkin and Scott Kennedy, Jane Yokoyama, and Cynthia Matthews, we have a law that says if you sit down 50 feet from a change machine, you're in violation of a city ordinance. So by strategically placing change machines next to kind of interspersing them with instant tellers, where it's also legal to sit within 50 feet up, you can make sure that nobody sits down on the sidewalk in that area at all. And, hey, wasn't that what they were trying to do 2 years ago? That's what they're still trying to do. That's the anti-homeless laws. That's what they're trying to, that's the essential caramelization or capitalization of the downtown business district. So that's going to be on the agenda, the two change machines. And then finally, the big one is a policy that closes City Hall at night after 9 o'clock, unless there's some special business going on to which the public, like a City Council meeting, can attend. Now, what's interesting about this so-called policy change is they're saying that they can enforce it with criminal sanctions. If you show up at 9:30 and get a drink of water, they can arrest you because it's closed. Now, incidentally, you may not have noticed, the same policy adheres throughout the city in the parks. So if you walk through a park after dark, you can be arrested. This was originally done for pretty much the same reasons, to get rid of homeless people in the parks. Shows you the enlightened sentiments that are happening in the City Council and in the Parks and Rec Department. Well, there's no question that because Mayor Rotkin could not get the court to ban protesters at night, his next step is another retaliatory move to ban everybody at night, and that'll take care of the protesters as well, but it's obviously directed against protesters, and that, in legislative terms, is what we call, note this, political science students, a bill of attainder. The bill of attainder is unconstitutional. It's specifically barred by the U.S. Constitution. And what a bill of attainder is, it's a legislative act that is directed against specific people, a particular group. You cannot legislatively bar a particular deal with a particular group of people legislatively and penalize only them. That's what they used to do in Great Britain, and the American revolutionaries thought it sucked big time. It's a violation of basic rights to be treated fairly, equal protection of the laws. So it's a bill of attainder, it's illegal, but Rotkin wants to do it here in Santa Cruz. And of course he's disguising it. He's not saying this only affects the protesters. He couldn't get that through an injunction of a judge, so he's trying to do it to have everybody be barred from the city hall grounds after 9 o'clock, So the protesters will also be barred. I don't think that will stand up in the court. At least the attorneys tell me it won't. Although, frankly, I've never been wrong in overestimating the... I've never been wrong in my assessment of the courts as being just very incredibly compliant with the wishes of City Hall and with the wishes of the District Attorney's Office here in Santa Cruz. It's really a shame and a sad thing, but it's a true thing. So, what's interesting about this particular session coming up at 3:30, this bill, I think it's item 23 on the agenda, 23E, the way to find out is it's a City Council communication from Mayor Mike Rutkin. That's what it is on the agenda and tomorrow's City Council meeting. What's interesting about it is that it's not an emergency ordinance, as Rutkin told me it was going to be. He said that several times to me. An emergency ordinance is something you can pass right away, but it requires a 5-2 vote. You can't just pass it with majority. You need kind of a supermajority. And you're sort of asserting that there's some emergency situation. And the emergency situation that supposedly was the basis for the injunction was a whole series of false claims by Rutkin that there were human feces all over and rats running around and people were blocking the sidewalk and blocking the walkways and harassing the city staff, and none of these allegations were proven. In fact, none of them are in the final injunction. The only thing that Rutkin could get in his injunction was something barring big signs, and I'm not really clear how he got that, barring sleeping, which is already illegal, and barring food preparation, storage, and cooking, which I suppose is an expansion of the idea that leftover food draws rats, or it's a mess, or something to that effect. It's such a mess, apparently, that one instance of it is going to be enough to send someone to jail for up to 6 months. That is what we call terrorism against the poor. And that's what Rutkin is using, and Rutkin's judges are using, terrorism. They want this protest ended, and they're going to do anything they can to end it. And then, as I said, their next step is this situation in City Hall. They're going to do it by closing it down. Now, you would think they would have to use, they said they were going to use an emergency ordinance, but they're not. All they're going to do is change the policy, and their claim is that by changing the policy, they don't need to do an emergency ordinance, they don't need to do an ordinance, they don't need a public hearing. All they need to do is just sit down and vote a policy, and then they can just direct the Parks and Rec to post signs and close off the area. Usually, if you're passing an ordinance, you have to give it 2 city council hearings for discussion. Well, not this one. In fact, it isn't even considered to be an ordinance. It's just, oh, this is our policy. This is our policy to arrest people who come by late at night. I really find this amusing because it's such a transparent fascist device. You aren't even giving the public the right to a public hearing on a fundamental change in what has been the practice in Santa Cruz for the last two or three decades, that City Hall grounds are open at night. Now, suddenly, they're not going to be open at night. Now, they pulled a similar stunt in Santa Barbara in 1990 during a protest, but they didn't do a policy statement. They had to pass a law, an ordinance, and that required a normal process and a normal discussion process. But this mayor, who has been so eager to arrest me when I've been speaking up at City Council, who has blithely lied about the amount of time available to us and then cut us back to 1 minute each. This mayor who wanted to criminalize serving free food by Food Not Bombs back in 1993, voted for that in secret session. This mayor who wanted to lock off Ford's parking lot in order to get rid of the dirty, nasty hippies and all those counterculture people. This mayor who was so eager to criminalize drumming. And it was Mayor Rutkin who was eager to do that. He now wants to criminalize being at City Hall at night for anybody and everybody. He's running for re-election in November, folks. Keep that in mind. Send this man back to community studies to study the Constitution and to study the rights of the poor people in the town that he's been oppressing for the last 2 decades. That's what he needs. And I'm sorry to say that because I've heard a lot of good reports from Mike Rutkin in terms of his work on the campus, in terms of his support of liberal and radical professors, in terms of his support for national policies and his opposition to other national policies that I also oppose, 3 strikes and you're out. But how can you oppose three strikes nationally or on a state level and then support anti-homeless laws that will put people in jail locally? I mean, it's not, it doesn't make much sense to me. It seems like a form of sheerest hypocrisy. Anyway, I'm going on like this to give a break to my guest host, Pat Ring. Pat has graciously and generously agreed to take over my show because I'm engaged in meeting with Celia Scott and Catherine Byers and sitting around probably talking about nothing important while he is perhaps getting out to you information that really is vital. Pat puts his money and his body and his whole life where his mouth is. He serves food with Feed the People. He serves out truth, sometimes in harsh, profane terms, at City Hall. He calls the mayor an asshole because the mayor acts like an asshole, and when he does act like an asshole, the smell is clear. When the mayor tries to concoct bogus injunctions to deny basic free speech rights to the poor, he must be called on it, and he must be called on it in no uncertain terms, and that's what Pat Ring does. And as a consequence, Pat Ring is being taken to jail, and Pat Ring is being charged with misdemeanor contempt of court, the same thing I was convicted of, and the same thing I'll be going to jail for on June 17th. He deserves your support. The entire City Hall Sleepers protest deserves your support. Please, go down to that protest any time of the day or night. Talk to them, support them, bring them signed material, bring them coffee, bring them money, bring them clothing, bring them bedding, bring them a smile, bring them a 15 or 20 minutes of your time, bring them some suggestions and ideas. Write a letter on their behalf to the paper. There are a number of papers. There's the Sentinel, there's the Chronicle, there's the Mercury News, there's the local weeklies, the Metro. City on a Hill, I believe, is closing for the summer. But there's the Capitolia Courier. There's the Register Pajaronian in Watsonville. There's the San Francisco Examiner. There are all the radio talk shows you can call into. If you want to volunteer to help the vigil directly, you can contact the Common Threads Coalition at 421-9250. That's 421-9250. Or you can leave a message with on the Huff line still. I believe that those messages will still be picked up for the next week at least. 423-HUFF, 423-4833. They need your support, so come down to City Hall on Tuesday. We're having a whole afternoon of opposition to this crazy set of laws that they're trying to pass down there. This crazy closing of City Hall, the new change machines. Want to be around for the farmers market debate, and then at 7 o'clock, we're going to go in and talk to City Council during oral communications. And during oral communications, that's the period of time where you can talk for 3 minutes on a topic, unless Rotkin decides to interrupt you or bump you to the back of the line, and then you have to kind of fend for yourself. But hey, it's worth trying. I'd say, again, the main reason to come to City Hall tomorrow is to support the City Hall Sleepers. And you'll see their flyers kind of posted all over town. They're talking about opposing the injunction, speaking about the right of homeless people to sleep at night without being harassed, speaking about free speech at the City Hall and the right to for any citizen to be able to do a peaceful, nonviolent protest without having it closed down by the mayor and the city council that don't happen to like what's going on. So show up. Meals at 3 and 6:30. And you can bring a camera. You might get some interesting photos if the police tend to overreact as they have been overreacting in the past. So I'm about to turn this over to Pat Ring. Actually, he may have been interrupting this tape throughout since this is only a tape. I'll try to be doing a live show on Friday. It'll be my last live show for probably about 2 months, maybe less, if I get out early. I'm going to be trying to do a bit of some tape-recorded stuff on, I don't know, people jailed on ridiculous charges, interesting cases of injustice behind the bars of whatever jail I find myself behind while I'm away. And if you have any suggestions or thoughts, please do give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I'd like to hear them. I'm not really a hardened jailbird. I haven't been to jail for any length of time before. This is my my first visit into the bowels of the big house, and we'll see how that goes. And I'll keep you advised. You know, there's a lot of fear associated with that, and indeed the police and the sheriff's deputies can control you a lot more closely in there. And and doesn't have the breathing room and the witnesses that one has outside. But there's some things that are worth taking that risk for, and I think the right to share free food is one of them. And indeed, the crackdown is continuing in different places in the state. Whittier, California, is facing a crackdown by police, potential arrests. On the same day I go to jail, I think they're going to court, I believe. And up in Arcata, even though the police are kind of backed off a bit, they're still facing contempt of court charges for serving food. And in Santa Cruz, I predict it's not going to be too long before they try to feed the people and Food Not Bombs off the mall. I see that likely to happen, particularly where they start using the downtown ordinances against people sitting down near a building. The whole Friendship Corner, Cathcart Pacific, or Hippie Corner as some call it, area is now boarded off, and there's a building going up there, and that building actually goes up. It could happen pretty fast. It's going to be illegal to sit down within 10 feet of that building. And the change machine goes in at Subway, as it probably will. It'll be illegal to sit down over there. So they're trying to homogenize the scene. They're trying to gentrify the town. And it's up to us to stop that. Morgan would have wanted us to. She was on the front lines for that stuff. Actually, she wasn't on the front lines because she was so sick most of the time. But her voice was there, and her spirit was there, and her heart was there. And I think she'd want us to keep up that struggle, and I'm going to hope I remember her when times get tough in jail, if they do. I'm also looking for reading material, by the way, if anyone has any ideas about good books to read about people who've gone to jail. I'm talking more about books by lesser-known people. I've heard about, you know, stuff by Gandhi and Alexander Berkman and Thoreau, Socrates, all these, you know, great people who went to jail, or at least they're considered great by some. And I've read their accounts, and it's been a while since I've read them. I probably should reread them. But I'd like to hear more about ordinary accounts, like a Danny Martin. I don't know if you know about Danny Martin. He's a guy who fought to have a column in the Chronicle, and the jails have been harassing him vigorously, not letting him write, though he writes well. There have been some famous writers who were championed and got out of jail and killed people, like Abbott, who was championed by Norman Mailer, wrote in the Belly of the Beast, I believe it was, and then came out of jail and killed somebody. I guess Buckley had the same thing with another writer, William Buckley, otherwise very right-wing, but now he favors decriminalizing marijuana, as does the National Review, to its credit. And by the way, that's going to be the subject of a whole set of shows, or it's going to be an area of interest of mine when I get out of jail, which is the attempt to crack down on the cannabis clubs, because the word is that Dan Lundgren and Governor Wilson are going to go after the cannabis clubs. And Free Radio Santa Cruz has had its conflicts with the cannabis club here locally, but hey, hopefully the dust is settled and the smoke is cleared from that one, and we are all recognizing that both free radio and the right to medical marijuana are vital issues that we both and all of us want to support. And we're going to need to support each other in the days ahead on that issue. So, Pat, you're on your own. I wish you luck in the next, what is it, hour and 15 minutes. I'm sure you can do it. You got a lot to say, and hopefully maybe you'll find some guests of your own to bring on the air. Again, you're listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, 96.3 FM, the partially recorded version with guest host Pat Ring, or Pester Me Not Pat, as I have been calling him on this tape. I'm looking for a better name, but that's one of my vices. I run around naming people these crazy names, so there you are. Anyway, let me hear from you. If you have any thoughts about anything I've said, if you have any thoughts about anything Pat has said, If you want to be on the air, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And consider being a guest on the show from 10 to 12. We wish we had a call-in number, but as of yet, we still don't have an ingoing phone line, and I think that's really too bad, but hopefully that will soon be remedied. I also encourage you to listen to other shows that are concerned with civil rights for the poor. John Stewart normally has a show himself on Wednesday from 10 to noon. I believe that show will be taken over by Pat Ring and Dan Hopkins, because John has lost a very dear friend, Morgan, and he's dealing with that issue, as we all are. So, hang in there, everybody. Share free food at City Hall tomorrow, Tuesday. And do it in celebration of not just the right to share free food and the support for the City Hall sleepers, which is important, but hey, you know, support me, for God's sake. I'm being sent away to the big house on this stupid idea that sharing free food should be somehow criminalized, that's okay. It's not okay, and it's not okay that I'm going away to jail. I could be doing a lot of good in the community for the next 2 months, and instead I'm going to be sitting in the in some cell somewhere, counting my toes, you know, no doubt working up and making a magnificent physique. So come on down to City Hall, and let's have a bravo bye-bye to Bathrobes Pier. That's me. And let's see what we can do in the next 2 months. Me in jail and you out of jail, and all of us working together. What do you say?